You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
Sure, I'm Michael Furtick. I'm from Canada. I'm working with Taking It Global, which is one of the largest global networks for kind of social networks for social change. And I was one of the co-founders of the organization back in 1999, and I'm the director of technology, so I manage all the website development and the growth of the website.
Okay, well, thanks for being here, Michael. If you could tell us a bit about Taking It Global, what that is for people who've been living under a rock. Give us a kind of sense of scale, you know, the numbers, and just give us a flavor of what you're all about.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure now that it's, you know, 2007, everyone's familiar with social networks like MySpace and Facebook and LinkedIn. And Taking It Global was established back in 99, 2000 as a website and online community, and now known as a social network, but focused around social good, focused around global issues, around education, and about connecting especially young people to peer-to-peer support, mentorship, advice, and ways they could take action to improve their communities and the world. And in just over 6 years, over 5 million people have used the site. We get almost 2 million hits a day, and we have over 140,000 kind of community members that participate and help to operate the site. And one of the things we're most proud of is that the whole thing is available right now in 11 languages, with about 15 more being translated, and that's all done by teams of hundreds of volunteers around the world, helping to make the site more accessible to those who don't speak English.
Wow, that is huge, man. And tell us why you started that then, back 6-7 years ago now.
When I was younger, I started using a computer when I was 2.5 years old, and was lucky to kind of have a lot of opportunities to start a business and to kind of be successful with that. And I got a lot of media attention back in kind of the late 90s when the dot-com boom was all the hype and all the rage in the media. And I got a lot of emails and kind of requests from young people around the world for help and support, mentorship and advice. And I kind of realized that there wasn't a place on the internet for them to get that support. All the websites were focused on commercialism, fashion, dating, run by magazines, you know, trying to sell ads to advertisers. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't really a safe, positive online space for people to just learn about things, to explore their interests, and to connect and collaborate on projects that did something good in communities around the world. So that's really the mission of Taking It Global.
And has it evolved in any way? Has it gone in a different direction, or are you still true to that original aim?
Well, our original mission was inspire, inform, and involve. I kind of see that as a pathway to action. A lot of young people may not yet be inspired about a social issue, but what's happened is we've expanded a lot of our programs. We started with just member profiles, discussion boards, and organizations, and now we've expanded to have information on scholarships, fellowships, you know, different financial opportunities and resources to really help, you know, tens of thousands of small nonprofit organizations in communities around the world promote their programs to young people. One of the other main ways we've expanded is in youth media and expression. So we've added podcasts like this one, the ability for all our members to create their own podcasts to tell stories about lives in their countries around the world. And we've added a global gallery for young artists in over 100 countries who've posted over 13,000, you know, paintings, pieces of art, and photos to express life in their country. So we've really tried to provide a one-stop shop kind of for young people to learn about other countries and kind of connect to opportunities.
That's amazing, because all you've done really is just provide a platform, not taking anything away, but you've provided a platform, an accessible space for young people, and in a sense they've just populated it, haven't they? And I suppose that's what young people do very well, is to express themselves creatively, and I suppose Taking It Global has done exactly that. And do you think that this is something like this was needed at that time, and that's why you're so successful? Or is it something else that you've kind of got with Taking It Global that made you kind of, you know, where you are today?
I think it's something that's still needed, kind of a sense of purpose in a lot of these online communities, because I think that a lot of them are very socially focused in terms of, you know, social activities, but I think obviously global issues like climate change and human rights and things are coming to the forefront. But what we need is a way for people to better understand them who don't, and for those who do, to understand what they can do to actually contribute to them. So I think the framework of helping people get from, you know, interest, inspiration, information, to actually involvement and doing something about it is something that's still very much, you know, a need. A lot of people are aware of things, but how many people actually take action to address them? That's, I think, why we have a lot of the situations that we're stuck in, is because I think previous generations were too disconnected from the issues, but now that I can talk to a young person in another country and see the impact that that problem is having on their life, it makes me feel a lot more closer, a lot more connected, and a lot more realistic for me to actually do something about it.
So that connection then, obviously, is through the access to technology. What do you kind of say about all the political kind of wranglings around stopping young people and kind of curbing their access to, like, the DOPA bill in the States recently that's raised its ugly head again, who's trying to stop access to kind of any online kind of networking sites, which, taking it global, would be one of them. So it would stop young people access to that. What's your kind of reaction or kind of, you know, take on that kind of political kind of will then?
I think the politicians are just responding to widespread community concern. And I do a lot of work, we do a lot of work now, especially with teachers and education systems, helping them understand how to use social networks like this for good, for learning, for education. So I think that part of what we need to do is raise awareness with the public and get, you know, parents and educators and different government officials informed about positive uses of these networks. At the same time, there have been a lot of things that, you know, networks like MySpace or Facebook haven't done to prevent abuse, and that they've caused certain incidents that have led parents to feel this way. So I think at the same time, we need to provide education about online safety and security and cyber citizenship to young people. And we've done a lot of work around that on our website to empower them with the knowledge that they need to make smart decisions and to, you know, to see ahead of situations that could be dangerous for them, instead of just disempowering them and saying, don't use the internet. Because even if it's banned at school, they're going to go home and use it. So it's not really a solution. It's just a temporary measure.
Yeah, I always say you can't, you shouldn't legislate, you got to educate. And I know that your site has been called the MySpace for civic engagement, and that's just a great kind of description. But tell us about some of the success stories then, because obviously you're connecting people from not just within their regions but across the globe. And what action has come out of it? Could you kind of share some stories?
Yeah, one of the things that we focus on quite heavily is our Take Action section. We've developed a guide to action that kind of takes a young person through the steps of, you know, coming up with something they care about and helping them conceptualize that into actually taking some action locally. We've had over 2,000 young people post project ideas, post project updates, and keep the community informed and sharing the best practices of things they've done. Some of the other kind of main things that have happened is through a section called Voice. We help young people get connected to policy processes. So we co-facilitated over 1,000 young people from around the world last summer getting to travel to the International AIDS Conference here in Toronto to share all the projects they've done around the world on kind of preventing HIV and AIDS. Two years ago, we facilitated over 100 young people coming to Tunis in Africa, sharing projects they had done in about 21 countries. We ran National Information Society campaigns. So young people went out into communities, teaching adults, you know, kind of educating the community about how technology could be used to improve their lives. So we're really trying to catalyze young people to act as ambassadors to their communities, to help solve problems, and to kind of bring IT into those communities and share the value of ICTs as well. So there is a bit of IT in taking it global, but it's not our primary focus. It's whatever it is that young person cares about, bringing that idea, that concept, that value global.
And I know you're continuing to partner with bigger organizations, international organizations, to try and get your word out there. Tell us about, you know, the UN stuff and the other kind of big organizations you're working with and why you're working with them.
The whole Voice campaign, the whole Voice section, rather, is focused on, there's about 8 UN agencies that all provide opportunities for young people to get involved, either in discussions, policy processes, or on their own youth advisory boards. So we really try to promote those opportunities. A lot of young people are involved in Model UN, but a lot of them don't realize there's real tangible ways for them to get involved in the actual kind of real United Nations. And we also, one of the ways that we're a charity in Canada and the United States, and one of the unique ways that we generate funding is actually licensing our technology to other nonprofits and groups like the United Nations Association in the States, Greenpeace, their whole whaling social networking campaign we've built, and also Oxfam in Canada here. We've helped them with some of their student chapter network. So we're really also trying to provide some of the infrastructure and some of the technology to support these other nonprofits in achieving their goals as well, and building partnerships with those organizations as we do it.
It's fantastic, man. Wrap this question up about the wrap this interview up with a question about the future, if I may. Taking IT global, you've had huge success. Where do you see it leading on to? Is there an involvement? Where's the next steps? Tell us about that.
Yeah, one of the biggest focuses we have now is actually developing a set of tools, like I briefly mentioned before, called TIGED, T-I-G, takingitglobaled.org, which is all focused on helping educators use social networking tools in the classroom. So we're really trying to get them more familiar with it so that they can provide a richer, more compelling, more interactive education experience. It's because I know Canada, the United States, the United Kingdom, we have a pretty high rate of disengagement of students in education. Mm. So one of our ideas is to apply a lot of this technology, a lot of this sophisticated social networking functionality, combined with, we have over 300,000 pieces of user-created content on our site. Articles, you know, artwork, content, opportunities. So linking up the teachers to the tools and content to really build a more compelling classroom learning experience is one of our main focuses, as well as expanding the number of languages that the site's available in, and also developing a lot more personalized functionality. Because when you have 300,000 pieces of content, we really want to help match up each individual user to the things that might interest them most. So I thank you so much for the interview, and I hope that all of your listeners will come and check us out at takingitglobal.org.
And I'm sure they will, and I'll check up the links as well. I just want to thank you, Michael, for giving up your time to speak to Media Snackers. It's been a pleasure, man.
Thanks.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.